806.
Yep, 806. This meeting's called to order at 8:06. Right. You do that. Is that what I say? Oh, yes, we have quorum.
Are you doing roll or?
Can you do roll call and I'll just make sure I write everybody down.
Just checking that. And
she's no longer on the board.
Okay.
Kaylee Prince took her spot.
Oh, okay. I've got Michael Guyman.
Adriana Castro took her spot.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Valerie Moraga. Valeria Moraga.
She's not here.
Kathy Rivers. Dale Cowher.
Here.
Dale, you second it?
Managed operations and marketing for CBRE, so a wide range of experience in commercial real estate, marketing, and government affairs.
Person every meeting. Spread the pain.
Okay. So we'll put off on the clerk until next month.
Yeah.
For our next meeting. Subcommittees, check-ins, and updates.
Everyone. Again, Brandon George here, administrator for Parks Tucson. I want to give you guys an update about the parking rate proposal. Just for you guys to know, just some back history for those who are new, like Adriana. This started a couple of years ago in which mayor and council directed transportation mobility to look at parking rates and increases and things like that. Doing some research, I found that parking rates is important to know were 50 cents per hour up until June of 2015. Then July of 2015, it was increased to $1 per hour. So parking rates haven't increased in 11 years in this city. That's what the data shows. Last year, It was June of 2025, and I know a lot of you guys probably know this, but I just want to make sure that I give this backstory, that it was approved to extend parking rates, parking times. So we went from 8 to 5 Monday through Friday to the 8 to 7 Monday through Saturday. Then there was a study session back in August 2025. In which we started looking at potentially increasing parking rates. It was a proposal was submitted to Mayor and Council, which in January of 21st, 2026, was a public hearing in which Mayor and Council were going to take a vote on if we were going to increase parking rates. There was a lot of pushback from the community, if you guys remember that correctly. Mayor and Council at that time took the position that they had more questions and wanted more data and really looking at what it is we were going to do and what we were going to implement. And so they voted that night on January 21st, 2026 to do a 90-day delay where we can really look into the data and see exactly what parking rates should be and if they should be increased or not. During that time, Parks Tucson Division, led by myself and Andy as well, we worked with various organizations, whether it was Downtown Tucson Partnership, FAMA, Ward 6, and what we were doing was pretty much having what we call town halls and discussions, getting feedback from local businesses, residents, and the community as a whole to discuss what their field was. And at that time, we were looking at extending hours to 10 p.m. and we were going to include Sundays. So it would have been 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. One of the things when we were out and we had the discussions with various groups and organizations and companies and the public, they were concerned about the rate increase. They were concerned about the availability of parking. They were concerned about the time frames that people will stop coming to the downtown area, the Fourth Avenue area, University, because of the meter extension. And so what I did was I went through all the data from 2025. My eyes was hurting. Called Trudy and Andy a lot. And so what I looked at was I looked at transactions. I wanted to know exactly how many transactions we were doing at each meter, at each garage. Erica did a great job pulling that data. So the data that I use for you guys to know is the most recent data. It's not government calendar, but it's more or less a regular calendar year. So I looked at January of 2025 to December of 2025. How much we were charging, what the availability was, how parking was going in the city. So at that time, listening to everyone, we have recommended to Mayor and Council because we, right now with the way parking rates are, we don't even cover our operations costs. And so to be transparent with you guys, and we'll get into the numbers, Parks Tucson has been carrying a deficit for the last couple of years. We pretty much haven't recovered since the pandemic, is my understanding. And so going forward, just being transparent, we will be carrying over to the new year a $369,000 deficit. So we're operating a division in the red, which is not physically responsible. So one of the things that listening to everyone concerned and also looking at various markets, and when I say various markets, we looked at cities in Arizona from Phoenix to Tempe to Flagstaff to similar cities in different states, Albuquerque, El Paso, looking at what they charge and how they're doing their parking to come up with a fair price. So we recommended to Mayor and Council that meters will increase by 50 cents. So they will be $1.50 per hour. You can still put in a nickel, dime, and get some time. We also are going to increase residential and commuters. That was by 5% increase. The highest increase was about $30, depending on, I think that's Zone A. Zone X was the cheapest, based off the 5% increase, was $8. We're going to also recommend that we increase monthly parking passes by $5 across the entire board of all garage parking. And pretty much what I did was I took the amount of transactions from last year, decreased it by 10 or 20% to account for that fall off that we may experience when people say, I'm not going to park at the meter or I'm not going to get a monthly pass. And that's where we got the revenue number for the projections for next year. We heard the community concern, and so I took a position, and Andy as well, just list the people that we wanted to make sure that the community knew that we heard them and that we were listening. So we make the recommendation not to extend hours past 7 p.m. So we are not looking at 10 o'clock, and we're not looking at including Sunday. We heard their concerns, and we felt that since it was already in place from the prior approval back in 2024 that went into effect January of 2025, people have been dealing with the 7 p.m. It's easier to give something and then just not to, and then take it back and roll it back. That would have been a whole process. So we recommended that we stay at the 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and we do not include Sundays. So that is our gift to the public to let them know that we hear them. We also heard the Fourth Avenue community that they were concerned about their employees parking. So what we have done is, and we're still in these conversations, I reached out to a gentleman who owns some parking lots in the area to see if he was willing to give Fourth Avenue some parking spaces for a monthly pass. That way their employees had guaranteed parking. He was not interested, for full transparency, with the doing business with the city of Tucson. He made that clear with me. So what I did was I reached out to the Ari right here. They have a parking garage, and they have a bottom level that have about 30 spots under there. It's my understanding that in the past year or two, when my predecessor was here, they were willing to give us those garage, those parking spots, and have that conversation for the Fourth Avenue community can have parking. Because Fourth Avenue, to be transparent, believe that we are picking more on them, and we're allowing downtown to have more availability parking, and we wanted to make sure that they felt that that we're supporting them as much as we're supporting downtown Tucson businesses. And so the RE has opened up those conversations again. They have 30 parking spots underneath it. If we agree to going that route, what would happen is they will allow Parks Tucson, my division, manage their parking spaces. So that means Fourth Avenue employees will come here like everybody else who purchases a monthly pass and things like that to purchase those spots at, we're not making any money off of it, whatever their cost is, that's what we're selling it to the employees for. So I've been working with, I believe her name is Vanessa there, she's the property manager. She is now reaching out to her corporate office to make sure that they're still in agreement, because what I'm told is that bottom level was meant to be for the retail stores that's gonna eventually move in for their employees. But right now, they're not renting out any spaces, so you got 30 empty spaces down there, and we figure we'll help Fourth Avenue. We're also working with Downtown Tucson Partnership, because the downtown area, their employees are also parking at the meter because they want to be closer to their job, whether it's a bar, a restaurant, whatever it is. And they're concerned about walking at night for safety concerns to their car. So we're looking to give them either the triangle lot, most likely, or I know the tool lot was also in conversation, but most likely it's going to be the triangle lot because it's a larger surface lot. And our thinking is that we have centralized parking for downtown businesses. Because different restaurants and bars all close around the same time, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna have employees getting off at the same time. So they are all walking to a centralized location together. So you have 4 or 5 people all walking to their cars at the same places versus walking down the street to various meters. So that was our solution for the downtown businesses as well. And that's a little bit easier to get done just because those parking service lots are owned by the city of Tucson. And so we're just trying to make sure that this is not, I know it's not ideal for everybody, but the fact of the matter is we have to cover at least our operating costs, but we also wanted to make sure that businesses knew that we heard them that we understand, and it's never our goal to put anyone out of business. So I want to make that clear. We have, with the additional revenue, we will be able to do additional things like get meters replaced and get them fixed. So for you guys to know, we have 1,809 meters in the city. 544 of them are broken, right? So that is revenue that when people park there, that we're not collecting. So if we're not covering our operation costs, now we will be able to do so. So if we can get those meter heads also repaired, we can do those things. We also have a garage system that we're told by our vendors are outdated. We need to get those garages up to date, or the garages won't be operable and people will just be able to drive in and out without paying. So we need to take that into consideration. That's not including the maintenance, but more importantly, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we have adequate security. One of the things that we hear from the public is downtown Tucson is not safe. It's not safe. We can't walk to our cars at night. We don't see security. We don't see security. We have to cut back on some things. So what we're going to do is be able to bring more security back in, making sure that employees and the public, when they're downtown, they feel comfortable walking 2 meters at night because they're patrolling the area, going from garage to garage to surface lot, making sure when they get to a surface lot, they see a security guard there, they see someone patrolling, making sure when they get to a parking garage, they have security in, on the garages on the various levels. So that's my spiel. I open it up for questions.
Thank you, Adam.
Yes,
sir. I want to make sure everybody knows, some people around others weren't, as it relates to the proposed rate changes. So Brandon talked about meters. There's a host, in fact, I think it would be really helpful for Brandon, for everybody that Brandon would recommend rates.
Yes, sir.
Can you get
on that? Which?
Just the page, the one page proposal. So back in 2024, Mayor and Council approved a multi-year phased-in rate increase. It didn't include meters or garage hours or the weekend and evening flat rates in the garages. It did include monthly permit passes, the on-street student and commuter monthly permits, and I believe the resident, no, not the residential permits. So those two phases, when it, those were approved in 2024, one phase went in at 25, second phase is already scheduled to go in this July for those monthly permits, and we're going to print this soon. And the on-street and student commuter permits. So the proposal that we had considered and shared with you all previously, that there was a public hearing on in January, was to do, in addition to what was already approved to go into effect this July, it's going to increase those permit types like more, and extend the meter enforcement hours, and add 50 cents to the hourly cost of meters and 25 cents to the garages. So just wanted to add that piece of information. The updated proposal is to leave alone what Mayor and Council did previously, let that go into effect in July, and don't increase that by any more. And the new proposal is just, and we should go through the budget here too, but just increase the hourly rates on the meters from $1 to $1.50, and the hourly rates in the garages from keeping existing enforcement hours. So I just wanted to make that distinction that some of these things were already approved and planning to go into effect in the summer, we're leaving that alone and recommend those additional increases I mentioned. The total, and we can show that in the presentation too, the Brandon did a lot of work looking at the transactions to estimate what the revenue might be, the revenue change. And so the total we would anticipate annual revenue from these changes would be $630,000, and we have a table that we'll share with you that shows what of that comes from the prior actions they've taken, and what of that would be part of what we're recommending now. Kind of past. So,
yes, and I'm sorry, I have a technical problem. We're starting right now.
That's okay. Yeah. And then maybe if we take a look at this one to just give some detail to understand. And if you have a question, we're doing a lot of time. But I think you've seen these before, I know, but looking in the first column, there are actuals for FY24. You can see on the top line that we started with that negative balance, a carryover from the prior year. And the general fund bails out part of Tucson, and then you start with a deficit and have to work out that hole. You can see at the end of the year, you know, revenues weren't coming in as anticipated, so we ended with $400,000 expended more than our revenue, which left an ending fund balance adding to that initial deficit of $572,000. So you can see in the top line of the next year, we started FY 25 with that deficit. We did a good job in 25 in terms of limiting spending and really reducing our costs, and that's what Brandon was mentioning. Reducing the security hours that we had in enforcement, delaying some maintenance, etc. And so we were in the black, our expenses to revenues. Not enough to get entirely out of the hole. So you can see we're left with $185,000 deficit carrying over into the start of this fiscal year. We have adopted the balance budget, but our look at that middle column, projected second quarter FY 2026. And that's where, based on today, the way the revenues are coming in, and what we anticipate our projection for how we'll finish the year. And you can see that we're projecting to be in the red again. If you look a little closer, you'll see that that's largely a result of revenues not coming in as budgeted. You can see on the spending side, we're spending under budget. So we've recognized this trend earlier in the year, and again, we started tightening the belt wherever we can, and we can dig into what that is with you. But so as you can see, we're projecting to end the year for just shy of $550,000 for FY 27. This does include, for the forecast moving forward in FY 27, this does include revenue projections for those past types that the Mayor and Council had already approved, and they're scheduled to go into effect in July. It does not include revenue projections for what we're recommending now the Mayor and Council will consider on May 5th, which is the increase in meter rates and production hourly rates. I mentioned earlier that our estimate for total of all those changes, if they go into effect, the Mayor and Council do have to still take action on May 5th to adopt that recommendation. It's just our recommendation at this time is about $600,000. So we're hopeful that over time will help us cover our existing costs and allow us to grow, get back to a position where we're growing fund balance to be able to bring back our security costs, do some of the deferred maintenance items that different. I don't want to, guess, but we've been in close touch with, especially with the boards most impacted. All the listening sessions that took place with the community had participation from Ward 6, Ward 1, Mayor's office teams. So they got to hear the community feedback. We worked together with them on what our recommendation was going to be, and then we kind of did some more education with them on this. So folks understand, you all will remember, this most recent round didn't really start from Jim and Nikki making this comment in the last meetings, from what are our costs and what are our needs perspective, and then working into a fee that way. It started more with a conversation around funding needs in the heart of Tucson area, mobility needs including Sunlink and tourism, and at this heart of Tucson kind of tourism district concept that Mayor Council would consider. And so we were directed by then council member in Ward 6, Karen Ulick, to increase parking rates to be able to fund services in the core outside of parking. And so we took our direction, we did that, we proposed increasing the rates. You heard a lot of feedback from the community that would be really challenging in a lot of areas. And we kind of took a step back and said, let's start from what our needs are, what our budget shows, and work from there and try and meet the community somewhere where it's a little more palatable for them, but helps us make sure we're not continually in deficit and provide better parking experience. So that's where we are today. We did brief them all on the recommendation, so they won't be going to the meeting blind. They've seen it. I suspect that they support it. We'll see. The community will have an opportunity to call the audience to share their feedback with the Mayor and Council at the meeting. So I feel optimistic that they support it for now.
Andy, Brandon, just quick question. I don't mean to rehash the past, but when the extension was approved, this commission, by way of letter to the Mayor and Council, suggested that while this change is implemented, no further increases should be considered until we get through that. So my question is, the letter that was sent to Mayor and Council in, I think you said August of last year, who initiated that? Was that initiated from Park Tucson, or
who? It was,
I think Zach Jenter is the one that,
Zach,
Because I think the inherent conflict between the merchants and the patrons that we were able to listen to in the call last week is evergreen, right? That's not going to go away. And the attempts to create satellite parking for employees is basically answering that need. So it'll be interesting to see if those businesses actually take advantage of that opportunity. The other concern was raised with the Fourth Avenue merchants because they had had a stay on the meter extension due to the completion of the link. So what they're experiencing now, and the reason I think they were voicing their dissatisfaction, was they're getting the hour increase, the 2 hour increase, and the rate increase on Fourth Avenue all at the same time.
Yeah, right. We're going to bring them all in and just make it all one instead of different phases.
And then the position of Park Tucson in the Department of Transportation and Mobility is that the parking revenues support the operation. Additionally, there's a contribution to the general fund. So is the municipal parking system a public service or a profit center for the municipality, I think is the question people keep asking.
That's a great question. I just want to clarify, it doesn't provide revenue to the general fund. And so on the contrary, the general fund has been supporting mm-hmm. this. It's not meant to be that way. Park Tucson's called, it's not quite an enterprise fund. It's called a special revenue fund, but it's really meant to function like an enterprise fund. Covers its own costs. And Dale and some others will remember there was a time when we weren't running a deficit every year and we were growing the house fund balance. That fund balance stayed in Park Tucson. And so that was something that we were able to plan for, you know, reinvesting in parking services. And it will continue.
Because the part of the budget that's the debt, it's almost $1 million, right, that just carries forward each year. That's debt service on the garages and things like that, right?
Yeah, there's a line for that here.
$824,000.
It's going down, and I think Trudy has the whole debt schedule to tell you when it will be entirely paid off. There's several, so some are coming up in the coming years.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I have a few questions. So it sounds like the 50 cents on the off street or on street versus a quarter on the off street is deliberate.
Yes.
Tell us why, what you're trying to do.
That is to encourage people to park in the garages. Because we would like to have meter parking for people who are in and out of businesses. Where if they are coming into a business for a matter of an hour, hour and a half, they can get front parking, go in, do their business, come on out. For the people who plan on spending hours downtown, whether you come here for dinner, whether you come here to watch a show, any type of event, concert, that the goal is to put them in the garage, they go out, enjoy themselves, it's cheaper and those type of things, and leave the front parking of meters to
higher
turnover for the businesses, can see the turnover and continue to make a profit.
And then you might have mentioned the site for the 600 and some thousand figure, but how much of that is with the new proposed change?
Did you love the presentation?
Yeah, that's from the right.
The bulk of it. It's like, if I remember right, in the 40 or 50,000 of it is the old stuff. Because they were really modest, it was $5.
So you get back to balanced in maybe like FY29 or something if that happens.
Right.
Because I was thinking, boy, if it's only half of that or something, you can't do anything new or invest until FY31 or something. But if it's the majority, then a couple years in, you're breaking even.
And that's the goal, at least get us out of the red.
And then, trying to remember my questions, the fourth app, is there a reason why you wouldn't want to charge some overhead to manage that employee parking? And
I think we would want to. I mean, it's okay. That's the first step.
I'm just wondering why that group would not have an overhead expense associated. Okay. I think that's it for now.
I thought of one more comment worth adding, which is, I think some folks, and Graham, you were there, and Dale, and did anyone not attend last Thursday's public session? Okay, cool.
Right.
All right. So just some of the other things we heard related to the finding parking for employees downtown and Fourth Avenue, they were kind of concerned. Downtown is more available parking, garages and lots, et cetera. But one thing that came up that I think it'll be an ongoing conversation, but a little bit separate from the rates conversation to an extent, but is the gentleman from Trickbox, Jim, had asked about, you know, being able to provide a permit for employees to be able to use an on-street spot, an offset meter. You know, that is possible, but I think we have some apprehension around doing that because it's we don't have enough on-street spaces to accommodate the employees of all businesses. If we do it for one, feel some sense of obligation to kind of do it for everybody, and you know, effectively be reducing the billing meters for customers and visitors. And so I think we heard some heartburn about offering spots in Tool or Triangle or Pennington, which has plenty of availability because of the distance someone has to walk. You know, so they're on Congress and Fifth. I understand if you're in the morning, it feels like a long ways, but we just don't have. That's the available space we have. So they have a request that we look at allowing employees to park on street. I'm just saying, we haven't dug deep into it. It's first heard. We can have the conversation, quantify the spots, look at the number of employees we might want it. But I have a little bit of heartburn about that just because we don't have the ability to do that for everybody who works downtown without using the whole on street park.
And you don't know the impact it will have on the businesses because, again, the goal is to make sure that those parking spots are available for people who's running in and out of businesses. And we're afraid that if the employees park there for a 5-hour shift, 8-hour shift, if a person's only coming down here for an hour and a half, I likely are them to pull into the garage, walk downtown, and then go to the business. So the goal was just to make sure that turnover was there for businesses to still make money. Is this a question?
Yeah, we can either plug it in or
let me see if I can go power it on. You guys all set?
So just in general, I appreciate that we're trying to balance, right, and get to the point where the system is supporting itself, or there's a municipal decision to subsidize it, but that hasn't been the case, or they've just been doing because they have a necessity to make it balance. It's a tough conversation because parking and vehicles are very personal to us Americans, right? Every vehicle is a customer on the street too, whether it's a customer of the city as an employee of a business or an actual customer of the business. And so it is very, very personal. I like the idea of trying to encourage off-street parking. I think that gap could even grow. I don't know that a quarter is going to make somebody make a deliberate decision to park there versus there. But if that grew over time and it became whatever amount that was, you know, psychologically influential in that decision-making process, I think that's a good thing. But I do think the covering of the costs and think about the merchant stuff, and I love that we're trying to solve that problem, find nooks and crannies or agreements and stuff, and just make sure that we're covering the costs.
Absolutely. We just want to make sure the businesses understand that we hear their concerns as well, and make sure that we're just as transparent as possible with them, to make sure that we're impacting them, not in just a negative way, but that we're there to work with them.
Can I make a comment or two historically? Park Tucson in 2019, before the pandemic, was running about a $1.5 million surplus. Okay? And as has happened in many urban areas, the parking revenues are down. There's less people coming downtown. I have a great example in my family. My son lives in the Bay Area. He worked for a company. On March 3rd, they became one of the first companies in the country to send their employees home to work. And part of the reason they could do that so well, they had a complete system of remote working in place because they were a software company. But the reality is, he has been in the office of his employer 4 times since March 3rd, 2020. Okay? He has been working from home as a software engineer, and he works with people all over the world. The company has people all over the world, and they have a network to do that. That has affected where what the revenues are coming in. And that's a basic thing, I think, that is underlying this,
I don't have a study or anything to prove that, but there's, you know, I mean, we just see it in the numbers. That their numbers that were there prior to the pandemic have not returned. Now, we worried about this the first year or two after the pandemic. We kept crying and parking kept coming back, but it hit a wall. And that wall has clearly been established at this point. And the reality is the things that people want to have happen, and I'll pick on Fourth Avenue for a second, I'm not intentionally, but because it's where the biggest expense would be, is the idea that there be a Fourth Avenue parking garage. And until the deficit spending goes away, and until we get over the hump on some of the existing debt, from my standpoint as a sort of a public accountant and somebody who does this kind of thing for a living, I don't see how we get over that hump without some rate increases. And that's the hard part of it. It's, the bottom side of that is businesses are also having problems, and we need to recognize that. Because their revenue's have gone down for the same reason. I mean, if there's less people parking in Tucson because they're not in offices, they're also not eating lunch downtown. And, it feeds on itself in multiple ways. But unfortunately, we have the issue of how do we kickstart this? How do we get it going again? And I think, they're trying to come up with a plan that'll do that. It's not carried away. And I understand that some people will feel it is carried away, but that's a hard level that we have to get over. I don't know whether that helps historically.
Thank you, Don. Yeah. This is more of a visual of what we were explaining here.
Small visual.
Can't blow it up anymore. So what you'll see here is just the different parking types, whether it's garages. So what you'll see is the current rates here, second column to your left. You'll see what was approved and went into effect. That was already approved back in 2024 and it will be in effect July 2026. These are new rates here. So that is prior. That is not calculated yet because we have not started collecting those revenues yet. However, it was already approved. What is in red is what we're highlighting to go to mayor and council within the next couple of weeks in the red. So you have the depot garage increasing. You have Saturday to Sunday garages, $1.25. You have the various meters, 8 to 7, increasing to $1.50. You have the residential permits going from $48 to $56. Just for you guys to know, 90% of the residential permits are $48 in the city based off of the data. So they'll increase to about $8 there. Then you have also
this is what we're printing, by the way. So,
and this will be this is what we're going to print out. We'll have the commuter part right here, just down here. Permits they went up. Like I said, we did a 5% increase across the board. So we didn't go off of a flat dollar amount. Different zones cost different, is a different cost. Zone A, of course, is the better parking all the way to zone X. So we did a 5%. The largest increase was the $32 in zone A. The smallest increase was $8. And that was based off of 5%.
And thanks for that, Brandon. That's why it's helpful to have the visual. I kind of forgot about the residential apartment part. So the column on the left, as you're seeing here, is what the rates are today. The middle column is what was previously approved. And so those are, we noticed one, in addition to the meters and garages, there's the residential, which Greg mentioned earlier, so we're proposing $8 a year for the Monday through Friday 8 to 5 residential permit, and $10 a year for the other two types, the 24/7, and it's the same version that has the two-day basketball games included. We noticed that for some reason, and don't know the history, maybe someone here does, but the depot garage was left off. It wasn't approved by the council 2 years ago for the flat rate increase, which is proposed in every other garage. No one understood why, and kind of assumed that maybe that was just...
It's probably because of the residents. Because MLK and 1 North 5th are the main parkers there.
But this is just for the beginning flat rate.
Oh, I don't know.
So yeah, anyway, we're proposing that they had a $5 flat rate. We're proposing to match it with the other garages so that the high peak evenings, there's a $7 flat rate to catch it up with everybody else. And then you can see there. Brandon, if you want to go to the next slide, that's the revenue type you can see there. So the top three are the new things we're proposing right now. And those bottom four are what were previously approved.
And just to reiterate how we got to these numbers, I based everything off of transactions because we don't have what is occupancy in the city of Tucson. So I looked at transactions from January of 2025 to December of 2025. How many times people were parking at a meter and doing a transaction. Still difficult to kind of narrow that down for you guys to know for the sake of transact or the sake of being transparent. Everybody who pulls up at a meter is not putting in a whole dollar. Some people only put in 10 cents because they may only be there for 3 minutes to go run and get a coffee. So every time you put any type of coin in the meter or you pay by app, that is considered a transaction. So I am not saying that every transaction was a dollar transaction. I have to get the number somewhere. And so based off the transactions, and what I did was to try to capture that loss, and because we can't narrow that down, I went a 10 to 20% decrease on if people stop paying, because we also know that some people pull in and don't pay at all because the meter is still going for 10 minutes. So they're like, I can run in and get a coffee for 10 minutes. And so those things are all considered here, and these are the numbers.
Let me just say, you did the work to figure out our average revenue per transaction is 75 cents.
Yeah, for you guys to know. And that's when you're looking at per day, so that's a great point.
Full hour.
I was trying to look at each month, and what I calculated is, for every transaction for on a monthly basis, we were getting anywhere from 70 to 73 cent on a transaction. So that right there tells me that people are not putting the complete dollar. It could be nickels and dimes. So when I did these revenues projections, to me that's about a quarter to 30 cent each transaction. So I actually based this off of $1.25 versus $1.50 because I want to make sure that I capture that loss that we're not going to have, along with possibly a decrease of transactions where the people are not paying, or people are going to risk that they're not going to get a citation, and they're just going to park there all day and not put anything at all. So I'm just trying to hold off of the data.
I think I've asked this before and I forgot the answer, but do we know the split of cash versus pay by app? Meters.
I don't know the percentage. I didn't look at that. I just took every transaction as a whole, as a collected of a dollar.
To this, but
I think it can be known.
But yeah, it could be.
The gap is there.
It doesn't really impact this. I was just, curious. Because there's a high cost of taking cash.
Yeah. We've had some interest at the city manager level to say, hey, why should we consider going to have all the meters? Because there's large maintenance costs on those too. And have, sign. So I think when that has been floated in the past, there's a lot of resistance from people who still want to make sure there's cash options. We haven't gone there, but I feel like that's a conversation we might continue to have in the coming years.
Have you ever thought about, so there's a couple of metered zones, I guess, that are pretty much 100% supporting the university, right? Like 7th and Helen by Eller College and those. And if you go across the street, the university's is 225 and going to 250. One side of the street's $1, the other side's $2. I wonder if those zones,
it would increase certain zones.
But maybe those are.
I can tell you when we pulled the data, we didn't look at individual meters. I get exactly where you're going. I do that when I'm looking at specific projects.
For sure.
For example, if a local business want to capture and put some balconies out there or some eating tables, then we're trying to lose those. That's when we run individual meters.
Right.
The data that we pulled was specifically meters for the entire month for the whole city of Tucson, correct, Erica? It is not broken up by location. And that is the data that, because we have 1,800 meters, that will be a lot of data trying to capture which ones is doing this, which is doing that. So those are typically done by individual project.
But I think what Jim, you might be suggesting is the market might tolerate a $2 hour, for example.
In certain zones.
Rather than $1.50.
Yeah.
But across the street, it's $2.25, $2.50.
Yeah, and either you have additional revenue or you can reduce somewhere else.
Right. So something
maybe in the future.
And just for you to know, there are cities who do that. When we're looking at the data, Tempe does that. That is a location in different areas. The closer you get to that grade school ASU, you get to see, you get more expensive. So they do exactly what you're suggesting. So that where I believe Flagstaff does not do it with NAU.
Yeah.
So, and I'm just using college cities, something like what we have going on here. Any other questions?
I'll just share, looking at this one, it has a little more detail than the five-year plan, which is all a little bit high level. And you can see, it's illuminating for me to see the parking policy is actually talking about. It's larger than the measure. On street is not down quite as much. What we're doing. Depends on the zone, but largely the garage revenues that we're taking to get this year for our business. The other revenues aren't.
Yeah, it's interesting though that to me that there's a reduction from last year. Because
yeah.
You would have thought it would be sorted out with things like Dale's talking about.
Yeah.
But then to have this year a reduction in the off street seems interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be related to the pandemic anymore. There's something else
going on. There's something else going on downtown, and I could see it a little bit business community wise too. I don't know if several restaurants closing a lot. So I don't know if there's some sort of lull or what it's related to. And correct me if I'm wrong, this is both, is the off-street revenue here report including hourly and monthly?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know to what extent this is driven by less monthly pass holders or less hourly earning. I assume the monthlies are pretty stable because people will stay who work that long term and slightly like shorter term.
Yeah, shorter term parkers in particular. I'm the guy who commutes from the Far East Side. Okay, I live in Pantano and Speedway. The reality, I know a lot of people who come downtown on an occasional basis, and to me, it's totally opposite of what it should be, because I come down on a common basis, almost parking, in the parking garages. They're easy, convenient, you get there, you've got plenty of spaces, you're not looking. But people have a tendency when they're regular for coming for dinner, coming for this, coming for shows, they still want, I know a lot of them have tickets to various things, etc. And they want to park on the street. Now, probably maybe a little different scenario by the conventions with parking garages that they have. But you know, people, you know, I could point to five or six people that I know through various things, and they all tend to want to park on the street. And so I think that's a built-in bias for some people, and in my case, I don't think it makes a lot of sense, but it does to them. So that's what matters, is what it does to them. So.
Has the decline run at the same time as the decrease in security in the garages?
I can't speak to that. I can tell you I didn't look at those trends of when they decrease security here. I can tell you when we started decreasing security. Mine's more or less just looking at the data from the calendar year, January to December.
It's a good question. I don't think we'd have even if we had all the best data, we would be difficult to make a causal argument about, you know, it's because of the security that we're bringing us. Anecdotally, we do hear about, you know, hey, there's a mess in the elevator, you know, the kids are playing for my staff and kind of thing like this. So we get to hear about that. You know, we'd have to get into it, but I think the big part of fall off also was preceding security and stuff, so. But it continues to become. So it could certainly relate. It's one of the reasons we would really like to get our security on the back up.
Yeah.
It also helped with pay on entry, right? So helping in limit fare evasion and other things on busyness who can't, and limiting damage to the gates by having a security guard present. What did you tell me yesterday the cost was to replace all the shared bathroom garage equipment?
Yeah, we were looking at over $500,000 just to get our garages up to date because the garages are far behind. And I will share with you guys that when we have repairs to garages, parts are coming from other countries now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Jose oversees that part, and pretty much S&D, our vendor, said, hey, we're running out of vendors and people who are carrying these parts. You guys need to look at upgrading your parking garages in the city of Tucson. And so we asked for some quotes, and the first one came in was $500,000. And I will tell you, Jose just informed me before the meeting that he just got another quote because there's something left over, which is additional, how much?
Another 200.
So we're talking $750,000 potentially to get our garages up to standard for the city of Tucson. And that's important because if we can't find parks and we just leave the garages open, then people are just parking for free. And then there's nothing there. Yes, sir.
On a couple of occasions when I've been downtown on a Friday or Saturday and there's a high volume of activity, you've got security agents swiping cards at entry, flat fee, super efficient, and the gates are open when it's time to go home.
That's what Andy was just talking about. That's the call to pay on entry.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is because we have been scaling back our spending, that has also scaled back. So that's one of the things that if we can get out the red and just start at least covering operational costs, you will see exactly more of that. But because of scaling back system, security, that has been impacted. But yeah, that is called pay on entry. That terminology.
Yeah. Looking at the financials, you see the impact of the hourly extension on meters in downtown in terms of overall revenue. So is it your projection that these increases in off-street parking will move that line out of deficit as well?
It's my position that if people continue to come down here at the same rate as transactions, we will have increased our revenue for meters, but at the same time, it will also allow us to have a maintenance and repair fund. Because I want to make it clear that, remember, I said 544 meters in the city are non-operable, right? And so that is revenue in itself that we're not collecting, that people can park at all day, and we're not collecting anything. And so with coming out the red and increasing some of the revenue, we'll be able to do more of our repairs and maintenance, things that we kind of scale back on to make sure that we were trying to be responsible in the spending.
I think you have that line of the revenue line for specific meters.
Yeah, and I can pull that back up to see specific.
That's fine.
I assume that, like you said, it's an elasticity, so we drop off from parking.
I think almost even more importantly with the meters, 500, 600 meters out of order, the merchants aren't being served, there's no churn, the customers don't have parking, it's just sitting occupied all day by somebody that's figured it out.
Absolutely.
And we should say, it's not that we've stopped replacing meters. We still have been sending pallets in, right? We're still getting them replaced. But we haven't gotten
at a slower rate.
Yeah, it's a slower.
It's a slower
rate. And because I'm learning too, we still have several hundred of the old Dunkin' meters, and those are the ones that they can only accept 50 cents an hour. There's still a few hundred of those out there. So we'd like to replace all those because we're leaving money on the table there. Those are mostly in the Redondo tower area, I say Redondo, and South 6. So highly parked areas. It's $500 per meter head, so 200 of them we'd like to replace. investment will pay for itself, but we need to do it.
Tucson MSA is in negative job growth right now, so there are less people contributing to our economy. After Thursday's meeting and just hearing some of the merchants from downtown and 4th Avenue, it kind of made me pause and reach back out to our membership. So we represent 66 businesses in downtown Tucson, 144 including 4th Avenue and the surrounding area. And I think the concern amongst a lot of our business community is not necessarily the increase themselves, but the extension to the Saturday hours. And so their concern is less people are gonna be enticed to come downtown over the weekends and spend money. So I think I'd be remiss if I didn't make that comment.
Absolutely. And that was one of the people on Thursday had kind of brought that up. She was the brick box woman. She was kind of a downtown person, but speaking maybe like 404 Davidson. What's more painful for you, the meter extension to 7 p.m. on Saturdays or the rate? What I heard from Jasmine and Jill didn't weigh in on it quite as much, but was all of it, but it did sound like maybe the rate was a little more palatable, and that he had concerns about the hours. So we did share that feedback in our debrief with the mayor and council members, and I suspect they'll hear directly from the business community at the council meeting. So it is within their authority to change our recommendations. Say, let's treat 4th Avenue differently, change hours. So I think we'll still do the department recommendation that we have consistent meter policies in all the districts. So I appreciate you.
Kind of. What you're saying is this is a byproduct of a larger economic situation. We can't isolate parking and parking revenues as the sole issue that we're dealing with as a metro downtown area. Agreed.
Any other questions, comments, concerns, input,
or future agenda items that the topics you want to get into?
So next step for the council is there's going to be a vote on this, right?
Yeah, there will be on May 5th, there will be a study session, so today in the afternoon, and I'll review our recommendation to discuss, and then at their regular meeting in the evening, they'll have an opportunity to take action, get action on their agenda for the recommendation. There's opportunity for public comment and call the audience at the regular session.
And that recommendation from this entity is what we see in red here on that sheet.
Yes, sir. Okay. And those materials from Mayor Council, agenda delivery at least today, so they should appear on with the memo attached to it. And the background Mayor Council said today.
So next step will be on May 5th.
Is presentation of this recommendation to the Mayor and Council subject to a vote of this commission, or will it happen regardless?
It will happen regardless.
Okay.
We are happy to and do both, or report out. I'll give comments at the mayor council meeting so I can share feedback that we heard here today, and or invite you to send it in written or in person.
And yeah, so you can send it to me if you want.
Would it be helpful if someone introduced a motion to approve these changes in support of what the mayor and council's proposition would be? Would that hold
this body feels that way, I think so. At the last public hearing, there was definitely interest on council members on what the commission's position was. I think they received the letter from August.
I'm saying that's the last update that they had was that the commission was no, but if that has changed, definitely.
Right, and it was important to them that we are having this conversation with people, so I absolutely welcome that.
Yes, we're wanting to get a feeling of how this commission feels.
Absolutely, they encourage that.
I will put in a motion to approve recommend these rates to the mayor and council, and we'll see how all of us feel.
Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Second?
Second.
Discussion.
I think in the interest of our membership at the Chamber and the business community, I am concerned about the weekend rates. Like, as we mentioned, the hourly increases are palatable, but I do think this is going to have a negative effect on local businesses.
Timmy, you know, too, do you want to do that as well?
Yep, please draft it.
Is there any other discussion? You can call for a vote. Yeah.
So you're going to send the letter in then? You're going to draft a letter to send to Brandon?
Right now there hasn't been an approval, so we have to vote.
Yeah. And my understanding was the motion wasn't for a letter necessarily, but the legal action.
They can say to the council, we supported it or we didn't support it, and they'll be open to. Well, let's take a vote on the motion, the first motion, but I'll be open to a second motion if somebody wants, like Chamber wants to, representative wants to motion to make the other change. They would be able to adopt several if that change was made.
So let's vote on the first motion then. All approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opponents or opposed?
Finger meanness.
One abstention.
Passes. 5, 6, 7, and one abstention. Thank you for being in the background. I think that will be helpful.
All right. Financial report.
Kind of talk a little bit about it. Speak a little bit about it.
Sure.
That's what we've been doing.
Yeah. I'll take my 2 minutes here. All right, so you guys talked a lot about the garages. As of end of March, we do show revenues down 14% there. For our meter revenues, we actually have an increase of 13% over last year. That actually would even be a little bit higher. There was an update with IPS at the middle of March, so we haven't been able to record the revenues for the last 2 weeks of March. So that'll go up even a little bit more. We are trying to get them in so that they're on the April report. We're not sure if it'll be completed, so it might be on the May report. So that number will be really inflated, but it'll get us caught up from last year. Then we see that the on-street permits are a little bit down, and the fines are also down. I just wanted to point out, we were talking about the general fund contribution. For every citation, of course, we do have to give $10 to the general fund. So that is where you see a general fund contribution line on the five-year plan being taken out of our revenues. It used to be taken out of our revenues. I'm sorry, now it is considered an expense. We've been short-staffed in enforcement, as we all know. Also on the finance team, we've been short-staffed. So there are some expenditures that happened in March that are not included on the plan. So our expenditures are lower than they should be. One that stands out to me the most is the general fund contribution. That wasn't recorded for a couple of months. It was recorded in April. So the truth that should be there is $102,000 rather than $57,000. All right. And then the other thing that happens is we are running low on cash due to that negative fund balance. So if we have cash in the bank, we earn interest on it. We earn it at 3.25%. If we do not have cash in the bank, we're charged that interest. So you'll also see in the five-year plan on that interest income line, we went from it being a positive number to being negative over the next 5 years. If we recoup, then that will go back to being a positive revenue coming in. So I talked about the expenditures. We see they're down 12%. That's probably not true. That's probably closer to flat. And then the other expenses as well, because that's where the payment to the general fund comes in at that 57 that really should be 102. All right, and then the next page, of course, is just our straight line projection of how we're doing for the budget.
The city, you see on other expenses on page 2, first bottom, in addition to the payment to the general fund that gets paid, that Trudy was mentioning, the first line there is administrative fee to the general fund. And so what that is, every city department pays a little bit to the general fund to account for the central business services that the city provides, HR, procurement, IT, etc. So that's what that is. The city had, there's a whole total cost accounting plan that they do to kind of quantify how much benefit each department gets from the central services, and then they allocate those costs based on that study. They do that study every so often. I think the last one was 5 years ago. They just did it again. So it's, we anticipate that that administrative fee to the general fund will go up. To date, I think the city manager opted not to apply it like selectively to Park Tucson because of our deficit situation, but just for awareness, that's one of the things we're thinking about, that it could more than double as an expense.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. Is that a better total cost to ground up, or because Park Tucson is using more that has a higher calculation in that service?
Because the total cost is gone up for the most part.
All right, and then I did just want to touch on the debt real quick. The LED lighting is going to be complete in January of 27. There's a piece of Pennington Garage that will be complete in 26 and parking meters. And the rest of the revenues are carrying us through 28 through 31. What I show right now is $4.1 million is what is left in our debt service. So it does actually increase a little bit next year, and that is due to the interest on the Pennington debt. I can't find my debt line. So we go from the 824 up to 985, and then you can see it falling off over the years. And then 31, we finish up at 532,000, and we will be debt-free. Any other questions?
Thank you, Trudy. Parking service agent staffing, again, you know, that's one of our jobs, one of the positions that we struggle. I believe right now we're at 4 agents. Still, I believe last time I reported 4 agents. We have 2 in training right now. Again, it's training. I will tell you, it's my understanding, historically around this time of the year when the heat increase, we don't get many applicants. Don't know if we will or not. But we are now operating the whole entire department off of 4 agents, and that's doing everything from repairs, maintenance, and citations for the entire city. And we do have 2 gentlemen that are in training. I'm also told, this is my first summer here, that training slows down in the summer because there's not so many people downtown. And how do you train someone on the job? They need to be able to recognize citations, so they'll focus more on the repairs and things like that. But yeah, we are running the department for agents, and that's where that number where Trudy says citations are down and things like that, and enforcement is down, I should say, because we get various calls from various communities wanting to know why we haven't been there. We're trying to get every community, every area of the city as much as possible, but we are relying on 4 people to do so.
As long as we're talking about that, I just want to share, so it's not, we recognize the challenge of retention of parking service agents, and we've tried to do some things to improve our retention, so we're not just throwing our hands up. So one of the things we've done is we started with parking service agent 1 and parking service agent 2, to have a higher paid range and also have a higher level of responsibilities. We've shifted to bringing on people as parking service agent 2s and training them on the full scope of the job off the bat, and they're coming in at a slightly higher rate as a result. From what we understand from the agents and from the CJR and Jose and Joe's supervisors, that pay is a big part of it. It's a difficult job, it's an enforcement job, no one likes getting in front of the altercations with people, training people at night. And so there's all this, and it's relatively low paid. So they're generally coming in $2 or $3 per hour higher than they used to be. which will, that was just changed last year, so we're hopeful that that might have some impact. We did look at, and something we'd like to do is consider reclassifying the job to a higher level pay grade. That right now isn't, that's on hold citywide reclassifications. So we're looking at other job titles that might align more appropriately with what they do and compensate them better for it. Like community service officer is one we're looking at out of the police department. They have a much broader scope, but they're also enforcement and they're not sworn officers. And so something along those lines. So it's something we're going to continue to try and do to just increase the level of pay for the job that it is. But outside of pay, we've introduced some new training and new onboarding things that are trying to improve staff retention and just building a culture change. So it's not something we're just kind of ignoring. We're trying to do what we can to improve retention there, but it is just historically, as far as I've been paying close retention departments, so difficult to maintain. We have 11 budgeted positions, to make sense, but we float around 4 to 6.
I can't remember where we were at.
Any questions regarding parking service agent staffing levels?
So you mentioned that there's 11 budgeted positions, but you have 4 to 6 individuals in those positions. If you don't fill them, do you lose that funding for future years?
No, it would be shown as kind of a savings in our actuals. We adopt a budget assuming full staffing, and then I believe Trudy, can you correct?
No, that's, yep, you're, what's that?
The personnel line on the 5-year plan includes this assumption of full staffing.
It does. It assumes full staffing, and we will have a vacancy savings, so that will just help on our bottom line. So even as we see, we adopted a $1.3 million budget, and we spent $925,000 through the first 9 periods.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were fully staffed, we're paying more. We're also probably collecting more in enforcement revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also important to know that when you have 4 agents, we have them doing a little bit of overtime, trying to spread everybody out to make sure that we're here to support the city as well. And so take that into account as well.
Perfect. I think at the county, if you don't use those positions, you lose the funding altogether. So I'm happy they don't get swept.
I think because it's a special revenue fund, if these were general fund funded positions,
yeah,
they'd
be
a lot more
screened. Mm-hmm.
Any other comments or questions regarding parking agent?
There was a question last meeting about subcommittees and whether or not we can just make those ad hoc, not ad hoc, but PRN.
You can.
Okay. Including the items.
Erica, when's the next meeting?
May 26th.
May
26th. Every 3 months is in person.